Hi, everybody. Today we got a lot to talk about. We'll be touching on Colin Kaepernick, Jordan Peterson, a little bit of Andrew Tate, fat phobia, and Candace Owens, a battle of US versus Italy. Plus, we'll play a fun little Jubilee game. Can we spot the F-boy out of a group of supposed self-proclaimed husbands? Let's get into it. Yo, 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 welcome in. Happy fun Friday. We're going to have a chill podcast today where we just sit and talk about different videos that I've seen pop up through the week. A couple of stories here. We got Taylor in Nashville.
Yo, yo, chill as an ice bath today. How are you doing?
Are you ice bathing yet, Taylor? Is this happened?
No, I'm not.
you're still cold showering though? That's happening?
Only when I need to punish myself.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. And we've got Scott in the producer's bay.
What's up, everyone?
Scott, you don't do ice baths because you have enough going on in life right now.
I'll do an ice bath or a cold shower maybe in the summer.
But yeah, back never. In the football days, I think you got enough.
Yeah. I froze my toes way too many times to get back into that.
Speaking of football, we're going to be talking about Colin Kaepernick. That's his correct sport, right, gentlemen? Colin Kaepernick is in the news. Again, you all know Colin because he decided to kneel during the national anthem. He was really the trendsetter as far as that statement was concerned, talking about racism within the NFL, likening the NFL to chattel slavery. I don't know if you guys remember that one in his little documentary that he put out with Netflix. That was a zinger. But now Colin Kaepernick has accused his white adoptive parents of a problematic upbringing that perpetuated racism. And we'll get into this. This is a story out of the New York Post. He's recently put out, I believe, a comic book or a comic series that people can go and read if they want to hear more about his story, a graphic novel titled Changed the Game. Kaepernick says, quote, "I know my parents love me, but they were still very problematic things that I went through," end quote. Another quote here, "It was important to show that no, this can happen in your own home and how we move forward collectively while addressing the racism that is being perpetuated." So he's talking about racism that he faced in his home from his adoptive parents who are pictured here. And let's get into some of those racist run-ins that apparently he had. Here's the graphic novel titled Changed the Game. He talks about sort of understanding his hair as a young biracial kid and, you know, not knowing to moisturize, which I will say I identify with this little frame in the graphic novel here where this girl is like, yo, your hair is supposed to be moisturized. What's going on? You've got nothing going on there. Because, hey, I am a biracial kid who was raised by the white side of my household. So my mom was, and my grandmother are white women with curly white hair, but it's still relatively straight, and they've got three kids running around with these huge afros, and they're like, yo, I don't exactly know what to do with this hair. So my mom and my grandmother sat down and learned how to do hair, and I would come home from school, get a little snack, sit in front of my grandmother while she's sitting in her little recliner chair, and she would sit there and braid my hair for hours and hours on end. So shout out to my family for just learning how to do black hair, because it's something that you don't really think about when that pops into your life. But apparently at some point, Colin Kaepernick was having an identity crisis with his hair, and he thought, I want to get cornrows. And for those of you who don't know what cornrows are, they are the braids that are to the scalp. So to the scalp and back. These are just regular braids, not cornrows. A lot of people get it confused. It doesn't really matter. But apparently his mother said, he's getting what rolls? He's getting what rolls when he wanted to get cornrows? And obviously, this is just one example out of, I think, many that are proposed and talked about in this book, but this just makes me chuckle and laugh. And if anything, it's just super funny. It's not something that I would be offended by. Clearly, it shows a little bit of a cultural disconnect and just a lack of understanding, because this is something new in your life. You've adopted this kid who now wants a hairstyle that you've never heard of, and you go, what roles are you talking about? We don't have roles. We don't have roles at home. And to me, that's funny, and it's part of the learning curve. I would not hear something like that now and be like, you racist, ignorant bigot, I cannot believe that you're perpetuating racism in this household. Did you guys know what cornrows were? You were aware?
Oh yeah, yeah. They were big in the NBA back in the early 2000s. So okay. Definitely Perfect. Was aware of them.
So you were educated, Taylor?
Yeah, same reason, mostly because of sports. I mean, it was a thing in culture too. But yeah, I mean, I remember playing, you know, football games, and you like create a player, and it's one of the hairstyles you can choose from. So yeah, I mean, I knew what they were.
Yeah, it's just I can't see hearing this and being like, oh my gosh, this is horrifying that she just didn't know what that is and she said this to me.
Yeah, and she was like an older, you know, middle-aged woman at that point, and this, right. I think, was a more relatively new hairstyle, or, you know, something that someone from that demographic would not likely otherwise be aware of. So it's innocent ignorance, and I think it just seems like we're getting to the bottom of the barrel as far as what Colin Kaepernick is able to scrape up as examples of his victimhood. You know, first it was the slave auction at the NFL draft or combine, and now he's having to go all the way back to his childhood and find a relatively innocuous comment from his mom, and then somehow, you know, say that this is evidence of racism. It's, you know, where will we go to next? Pretty soon, I think he's going to have to go the Jussie Smollett route and just start outright inventing things.
Yeah, right. Yeah, or the good old Bubba Wallace. there's a noose tied around my football. How did that get here? Yeah, it's giving me, when I was a kid and kids used to try and touch my hair and ask to touch my hair, and I used to be like, you're racist. Yeah. How dare you? There's, of course, more examples that he lays out in this graphic novel. And I do want to say that there have been many instances where Colin Kaepernick is very grateful for his parents and the role that they've played in his life. So I don't want to put this in the light of, oh, he's just completely rejecting his parents and trying to oust them as racist or whatever. He's just simply making a remark because that's the way he feels about those particular points in his childhood. But let's see another part of this graphic novel where Colin is confronted by a man wearing a Confederate flag on his hat. Let's see how this goes. So they're at some sort of game that his sister is playing. His parents ask him to cheer her on while she's playing. And they go and grab hot dogs. And he goes with his father to go and grab a hot dog at the hot dog stand. And this guy goes, "Is that Rick Kaepernick I see?" You know, we gotta do that dad voice. And Colin Kaepernick's dad turns over and says, "Mike O'Brien, how are you?" And immediately Colin Kaepernick's eyes glance up and he sees the Confederate flag imagery on this guy's hat. And he says, "I wished the ground would open up and swallow me whole." Meanwhile, this white dude just walks up to him and goes, "Hey, Colin, I was asking, are you going to be a part of your dad's family business? You know, don't you want to be like the big man at the dairy plant and work with your dad and your big brother?" So this guy, even though he's wearing a Confederate flag on his hat, walks up to Colin and is like, "Yo, are you going to be partaking in your family's business? I can't wait to see you follow in your dad's footsteps. When are you going to get on that dairy farm, brother?" And
which is exactly how racists start conversations.
Exactly, exactly. You know, when I picture a racist person, I picture them walking up to the black child and talking about how much they can't wait to see that black child emulate their adoptive family and be a part of their family and carry on the family legacy of their business. That's what I picture racist people doing.
Yeah, yeah. How dare they want success for that person.
Yeah, just horrifying. And Colin then says, "Oh, no, 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 that's not really for me," and then makes an excuse and says he forgot something and walked away. And it says here, I want to find it. "Even though I was in high school at the time, I still knew that the Confederate flag symbolized slavery and racism." Oh gosh. And it's not to say that in some instances it doesn't symbolize that. I'm just trying to say that from a bird's eye view, this dude who just happens to have a Confederate flag on his hat doesn't seem like the most racist guy in town, and that he's trying to send some sort of message towards you.
Yeah, it's part and parcel of the logic under which Colin is operating now, ever since I guess he got benched and decided to become an activist. But it is, you know, the Ibram Kendi, it's not whether racism occurred, it's where did it occur.
Right.
And Colin Kaepernick is now going back over his entire life experiences and finding racism everywhere he's looking for it. And if you look for something, you can find it, or you can misconstrue it in a way, misconstrue your memories or misconstrue reality, or otherwise just regular, innocent, neutral interactions to racist interactions and racist things. And he's got racist colored glasses on and looking back over his past and then using that as evidence to claim victimhood. And with that, elevate his message. And it's, I don't want to call it a grift because maybe it's all genuine, but it's pretty, I don't know. It's not fun to see.
Yeah, I just don't know what's next for him. It seems kind of played out on his part. Like, he took up the shtick of doing this whole thing. And again, like Taylor said, maybe it's because he truly cares about it and he truly thinks he's making a difference by elevating the microaggressions of his adoptive mother in a graphic novel. I'm sure it's really making waves as far as racism is concerned and overcoming that with some form of progress. But where is he going next? What is Colin Kaepernick doing at the moment? Is he even playing at all anymore?
No, he's not playing so he's any done. Longer. Yeah, he's pretty much done. I don't think any owner or GM is going to pick him up right now. He did do a workout, I believe, for the NFL at large, so multiple GMs could go watch him recently, at least within the past year. But I don't think anything came of that. But I did want to touch on what both of you were saying, and Taylor saying it seems like we're at the bottom of the barrel right now. And to his point earlier, it's like, oh, he's seeing this through the racist lens. If you look hard enough for anything, you will find it because you want to find it.
Yep.
And also, that's just it's something what you do find is just warped because that's the way you wanted to see it. And I feel like him going after his parents, and you said he's lovingly talked about them before.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is the bottom of the barrel. You can't really go any deeper than kind of taking a shot at your parents.
Right. Especially the ones who are like, yeah, a black kid, we want that in our family. We want to adopt this black child and take care of this black child and have him be one with our family. It's just like, okay, whatever. I guess criticize them. Yeah. I don't know.
He's an incredibly privileged person when you think about it. I mean, he should be very grateful to his adoptive parents, which, we've seen the other posts from pre-activist Colin era where he espouses gratitude for them. But he's a very privileged person to be raised by parents who are willing to rescue him from a life of being in a foster home, who supported his career and brought him to practices. And in that regard, he's gifted athletically. He's got a lot going on for him. And it's just unfortunate to take all of that. It reminds me, I heard Ben Shapiro compare him earlier today to Meghan Markle. It's the same sort of victimhood complex of like, I'm one of the most privileged people that you can think of in society, sitting at the top of the ladder, and yet I have to find ways to find myself oppressed.
And what also is giving Meghan Markle is that if you look at Colin Kaepernick, he's really not that dark. Like, look at Colin, his picture's right here. This is not that dark of a guy. I could confuse him for several different races, but whatever, if we want to cry systemic racism against black people, he'll continue to do so, and he'll continue to do his thing. I imagine there will be more from Colin Kaepernick. This is not the last we've heard of him, because
we're going to hear about a fishing trip with his dad, where his dad was tying a hook onto the end of the line in the shape of a noose.
Right. And yeah, it is really that lens, because we talked about it with the football. He was likening football to chattel slavery, because they're saying essentially that these older white men are looking at these young black athletic bodies and analyzing them to see how well they're going to perform, and then placing a set of money down and offering them a contract in order to buy them for the NFL. And it's just like, are you really that incapable of seeing outside of your own ideology that you can see that this is nothing like slavery whatsoever? It's like that TikTok trend that we saw where the girlfriends were showing off their boyfriends and being like, I bought this one at Home Depot and he's the athletic size and he sings and he cooks dinner sometimes and I paid this much for him or whatever. And then all these girls took to the internet and said, if you have a black boyfriend, you should not do this trend with your black boyfriend because it looks like slavery. Oh, goodness.
And also with his comparison of, I believe it was the NFL Combine specifically that he was comparing to a slave auction.
Mm-hmm.
It's also kind of wild, too, because it's like the money that is being put forth is going toward the player themselves.
Right.
The one that is being, teams are going through their due diligence to determine whether or not they're worth that amount of money.
Right.
It's like no slave got any of the money that was paid for exactly. them in the past. They're getting millions here in the NFL Combine.
Yeah, in every job that you'll ever apply for in your entire life. Is he going to start likening people who, I don't know, a black person going up for an accounting position? Is that like slavery too? Because you're being assessed based on your capabilities and then offered money? I just don't understand. It doesn't work. It simply doesn't work. And he's just taking what is a very big opportunity he has in order to push this narrative, and he's probably going to continue to do so. I don't see that stopping anytime soon. Now, I just want to touch on this next story really quickly because I think it's funny. Not funny, haha, funny weird. Nick Cannon to star in Who's Having My Baby spoof game show with Kevin Hart. Now, this is not actually a real thing. I think many of you saw the video. We'll play it here shortly. Here it is, 30-second clip.
Guys, you're on a game show right now.
Kevin Hart and Nick Cannon are coming to E! For the mother of all game shows.
Having my baby with Nick Cannon.
You got pyro?
Yeah. You're going to get some contestants that want to have your baby.
We're not kidding around.
Eeny, meeny, miny.
Let's go!
Who's Having My Baby with Nick Cannon, hosted by Kevin Hart, this spring, only on E!
That looks pretty legit, like it's going to be a show. And for those of you who don't know Nick Cannon, he has been popular for a lot of things. He was married to Mariah Carey. He hosted America's Got Talent. He's on Wildin' Out, if you watch that show. That's a pretty black thing to watch Wildin' Out. But
that's a great some show.
You, okay, Scott,
I
you
loved
watch
it. I loved it back
okay.
in the day. Yeah.
I'm shocked.
I can't spit bars, so it's like I gotta watch some people who can.
I love that. Okay, we love a cultured man. Scott likes Wild Now. Okay, so Nick Cannon, of course, you guys know him. You might feel some type of way about him, but he's had 12 children, and not all with the same woman. Which, if you guys watched yesterday's video, which a bunch of you didn't, and I'm offended. First of all. But anyways, if you watched yesterday's video, we were talking about a man who said, I have 7 kids with 7 different baby mamas, and he just likes to go around and procreate and do this with women who are willing to do this with him. And that's exactly what Nick Cannon does. Nick Cannon gets a lot less shame for this activity because he is rich and because he has resources, which I guess makes the situation better, technically. But not in the sense that these kids have an active father who's going to be there for them when necessary. So there's some outlets saying that this is going to be a real game show, but Variety has come out and said it's actually just a skit that's part of an upcoming series called Celebrity Prank Wars on E! Network. I hope that it's just a skit and that we're actually not in the era of reality TV where women are vying to have the 13th child of Nick Cannon, although it wouldn't be really any different from some of the reality TV shows that we see now. It's pretty...
Totally. You could just see Kevin Hart up there with like the paternity test results and a row of women. And he's just like, Nick Cannon, you are the father. And then like repeat that like 10 times.
That
was about how that show would go.
And just these poor kids, man. I don't know what type of situation that they're in. And all of these women who are engaging in this relationship with Nick Cannon are aware of the situation and are aware of the fact that he's got all these kids. It just blows my mind that people, maybe it's because of his money. Maybe it's for clout. Maybe it's because they genuinely have feelings for this guy, but they're all sort of in this polyamorous situation with him now because of their relations and these children. And you know why I really feel bad for these kids? Hold on for a second, because I was scrolling through this article and they started listing off these children's names. I just want you guys to hear what Nick Cannon's kids' names are. Okay, so... First, he has twins Moroccan and Monroe. That's fine. That's not too bad with ex-wife Mariah Carey. Then he has sons Golden Sagon and Rise Messiah Cannon. Also a daughter named Powerful Queen with Brittany Bell. What? And then twins Zion Mixolydian. And this one's hilarious. Zillion Air. But it's spelled zillion as one word and air, H-E-I-R, as the second name. And a daughter as well with this person, Abby De La Rosa. And the daughter's name is Beautiful Zeppelin. He also has a son named Legendary Love and a daughter named Onyx Ice Cole. It's the name game. Celebrities always have to give their kids pretty weird names for the most part, right?
Yeah, I don't know why. The thing that came to mind for me is like, oh, Chameleonaire, when the Zillionaire name came up.
Oh, Chameleonaire. I was thinking, we talked about this, the Key and Peele skit of all the different football players and their names where it's like Tavariousness Smith.
Donkey Teeth.
Donkey Teeth.
Hingle McCringleberry.
Hingle McCringleberry, Michigan State. Yeah, I had one of my roommate's friends has a crush on this NFL player, and his name is Equanimeous. I can't ever say it. Equanimeous. Am I saying it right?
Equanimeous.
Equanimeous. Equanimeous. Yeah, yeah.
We need to make like a have our web team here make like a Nick Cannon name generator, and you know, you put in the last thing you ate and what month you were born or something.
Right, and it generates right. Like a Nick Cannon name for you. The first word of the street you lived on as a kid. Yeah. Just like random security questions. Oh my gosh. Yeah. But yeah, he apparently is so happy with his lifestyle that he often makes jokes about the number of women that he has impregnated. And he says, it's almost the holidays. And thanks to me, the world now has 8 billion people. But that's my job's not done. And based off the baby mama to kid ratio, we got a whole hell of a lot of gifts to buy. What he has to say about that.
Now, so, at the risk of sounding a little prudish here, it does, you know, smack of like the way he jokes about it, and even to some degree the way that he's choosing to name his children. I mean, there's a sort of a levity to it that is almost, you know, it's not how parents should thinking. It sends up a little bit of red flag of like how he thinks about his children. It's a very serious undertaking. I mean, Scott knows better than me, but to have a child is a very serious thing. And, you know, a child needs nurturing and needs your attention, and to kind of flippantly be like, yeah, I got 12 of them, but I FaceTime them now and then, I think he said. And he's like, I try to FaceTime as much as I can. If I'm in the same city, I'll go pick them up from school. It's like, that's not exactly Father of the Year material. And I'm not trying to take, you know, cheap shots at him or anything, but there's something about this that definitely has an unhealthy mentality about, you know, how you're approaching the generating
he deserves lives. He deserves the cheap shots. He deserves the cheap shots. Like, this is it's unacceptable. Like, when you watch, obviously it is acceptable to some because there are women who are engaging this. It's unacceptable for both parties involved to be doing this. But it's just like the guy in yesterday's video. He's the same as Nick Cannon, except Nick Cannon is giving them money and hopefully is there every now and then, is supporting them on the holidays. He claims that he spends $3 million each year supporting his children. $3 million. Each year. Oof. I didn't even know like Nick Cannon had it like that. I guess he had it like that from his past career and stuff. I didn't know he still had it going like that.
Yeah, is he still doing America's Got Talent, hosting that thing? Because man, Masked that Singer. Pays really
Masked
well.
Masked Singer now Masked Singer, is what he's doing. Okay, he did do America's Got Talent for a while, and then Terry Crews, I think.
Oh, he took it over.
Got
the
job from him. But yeah, I view Nick Cannon the same way I view Elon Musk. You know, Elon's cool or whatever for buying Twitter, and you know, he's got cool memes and stuff, and he's doing great stuff as far as innovation. But also, you're procreating with a bunch of women and then abandoning kids and just throwing money at them. So it's kind of not cool. And for somebody who talks about the nuclear family structure and, you know, how important it is to have children, the only part that he's taking seriously is the having children part. And not anything that's supposed to come afterwards. But that's neither here nor there. I'm just going to turn off my criticism.
to be fair, I think he's talking specifically about population, too. It's like, oh, we don't have enough people to do these things.
To me, I'm like, okay.
It's pretty
low
bar.
Yeah, it's pretty low bar. And it's also super convenient to have that ideological bend when you've gone out and impregnated a bunch of women. Yeah, I bet you are pro repopulating the earth once you've already got Mary, Sue, and Jane pregnant. Anyways. And some of them through embryos and like,
yeah,
when it's just so weird. I don't know. Maybe I'm
talk about strange kids names. I forgot what the what he named his most recent child.
X Ash 12 something something. Someone wrote it in the chat a minute ago.
This is the future of names. You know, this is the future of names. I get pissed off when parents give their kids a name, like a name like Kaylee, and then they spell it in some like weird, fanciful way that you haven't seen before, or like her name is Hallie, but it's spelled with like I E Y or something like that. I don't know.
Or they spell it in the Irish way, and it's like phonetically, it doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, it just doesn't like make Saoirse. Sense. Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. But now we're gonna have like X2963-A. Oh my gosh. Just do whatever you want, really. Do whatever you want.
Making elementary school teachers' lives miserable.
Hey, Ron.
Somebody abracadabra said Elon's kid is E equals MC squared. might as well be. Taylor had a real belly laugh on that one. He loves the dad joke.
Yep.
He loves the dad joke. Now, let's react to some TikToks. It is Fun Friday. We're just doing a chill show today, guys. I'm not going to drop any major stories on y'all. Here's a guy having a conversation about the alt-right pipeline and people like JBP and Andrew Tate. Let's hear it.
Left responsible for young males falling down the alt-right pipeline?
No!
This whole notion that guys don't get validated so they need men like Jordan Peterson and Andrew Tate to look at them and go, you're valuable. That's such bullshit. If you're a guy going, nobody cares about men's feelings, that's literally your fault. I'm a boy. I'm a male. I wanna go to war! And guess what? I've prioritized emotional vulnerability in my friendships so that when I'm going through something, I can go to my friends and I can cry and I can talk about stuff and I feel validated. If you're a guy and you've surrounded yourself with people who don't allow you to emotionally connect with them, that is your fault for not prioritizing that. It's not the job for strangers online to go, oh, you're such a handsome little boy. You're such a handsome little boy. Grow up, dipshit. Life literally is easier as a guy. And shut up. I can go around with my earbuds in at night walking around. If a girl does that, Andrew Tate picks her up, okay? It's not our job to coddle people who are falling down the alt-right pipeline. If somebody wants to go and watch Ben Shapiro's Savage Moments compilations, it's fine for us to call them what they are. Stupid.
That was just a roller coaster for me. He made so many different points. He's saying that the reason that Andrew Tate and Jordan Peterson and Ben Shapiro are famous, which these are three very different people. I want to make that really clear. So often these names get lumped together when they have three very different messages, but neither here nor there. He's saying it's because men are not getting validated and coddled and told that they're handsome, and that's why they seek out Andrew Tate and Jordan B. Peterson and all this stuff, which is so funny because he's actually making the case for why they exist, is because that is not the driver of men, and society seems to think that should be the drive of men, to be validated and told you're handsome and coddled. And Andrew Tate and Jordan Peterson and Ben Shapiro are actually appealing to the opposite message, that you as a man should not be coddled. Here are challenges that you should take on. Of course, I'm far more supportive of the Bens and the Jordans of the world than I am of the Andrew Tates, but they're saying the opposite of that. We don't want you coddled. In fact, it took 2 seconds because I was like, I feel like I've heard Jordan Peterson say something pretty antithetical to what I just heard in this video, and I just Googled it really quickly, and here's the clip.
Men don't get pregnant, obviously, and so that female pickiness is that's the case. That's definitely true. Whether it's worse now or not, I doubt if it is. I would say to young men who are irritated at women, is if you're irritated at women, you know, as a class of creature, there's something wrong with you, because they're right. You're wrong. They're right to not pick you. If they're not picking you, it's because they're right.
So I just missed the part where he's like, you're such a handsome young boy and you need to get out there and you deserve validation from all the women who are out there. And I'm so sad. I didn't hear that part. Did you guys hear it? Is that why you guys listen to him?
I just need to be, you know, patted on the back every day. That's why I get Jordan Peterson on and tell me to clean my room. That's so validating.
He lulls you to sleep with positive affirmations and gives you more to say in the mirror the next day when you wake up. And again, these three men should not be lumped together in the same category, where Jordan Peterson might be saying in this video, like, you know, if women don't like you, they're probably right. I don't see that message coming from Andrew Tate necessarily. So that's a whole different sort of ball game there. But everything that I just heard in that video just seemed very off and wrong to me.
And this had what, like 90 something thousand likes?
Nearly 95,000 likes.
Yeah, so hundreds of thousands of views on TikTok. And that's what's so frustrating, is like, this is the sort of drive-by punditry on social media that you're getting about these sweeping generalizations about some very thoughtful and interesting people. And then they're dismissed out of hand based on a spray and pray straw man sort of argument that makes really no sense. If you try to, like, we're trying to parse out what he was, the point he was actually making. And I got something along the lines of your, like, yeah, you, the Jordan Peterson exists to make you feel validated, and the, you know, the what makes you masculine is being able to cry to your friends, which it's kind of like a low bar for masculinity. It's like, yeah, it's true that you don't, you need to maybe have some people in your life that you can open up to as a man and be able to process your stuff. But that's not the be all end all of masculinity or a goal in and of itself. That's like sort of a baseline level thing of like, so that you're not held back as a man by trauma or by, you know, dysfunctions in your life or insecurities, that you process those so that you can go forward and to do masculine things that, by the way, Jordan Peterson and the other ones challenge you to do and encourage you to do, to go out and make something of yourself. So it's just, it's sad to think that so many people are watching this on TikTok and, you know, he's dissuading them from engaging with the content of these so-called alt-right pipeline of these people, which would really actually lead them to what, like making something of themselves, taking personal responsibility, getting their act together in their life, seeking and choosing a mate, making themselves a better mate, becoming a family person, getting married, having a successful, healthy relationship, and giving a goal in their life that they work toward. Like, ooh, that's such scary alt-right pipeline.
Right. Spooky, know. Spooky, scary, yeah. Scary.
It's like one giant straw man.
Yeah, yeah, and luckily some people did comment that under his video, but a lot of people are just saying their support, and this take is a real W. This is so correct. Preach, brother, preach. I'm like, what? You can really get on the internet and just say anything really confidently, and people are like, preach, W. This is a W. Ugh. Anyways, next. On to the next. I saw this interesting one of somebody coming after Candace Owens. Apparently Candace did an episode on fat phobia and the body positivity movement and came after a TikTok by the name of Samira. And here was her response to Candace Owens. Oh, and this, by the way, got over 300,000 likes on TikTok.
I'm big on fat shaming. Now, of course, this movement of fat acceptance is all across social media. And there is this woman who is, I guess, a fat representative. Her name is Samira Miller. She's got 1.5 million followers, by the way. So there is, yeah, definitely a following for being openly fat. And
Candace! I do want to ask, what does she mean a following for being openly fat? As opposed to what? Being closeted fat? What do you mean? What does that even mean? I will criticize that phrasing at the very least. A following for being openly fat.
I thought it was funny. But
it's funny, but she wasn't trying to be funny.
Well, it's sort of like if you're going to be an influencer and the whole, you know, basis of your influencing is the fact that you're fat and loud about it, it's kind of like, okay, and Candace is kind of comically acknowledging that, I guess there's right. An audience for that. That's news to me.
So. Oh, no, yeah, there's huge. I sent Taylor, I think, a TikTok the other day of this girl whose TikTok is just like, what I eat every day as a fat B-word is her TikTok. And it's just her eating McDonald's and fast food and milkshakes and stuff. And she occasionally has like salad or fruit or something, but she just posts that on the internet and everybody's like, yes, queen, I love your eating videos. Like, show us more. We want to see more of you eating. It's like Nico Avocado or Nikocado Avocado, whatever that guy's name is, where he's just eating himself to death on the internet. And he seems like a pretty level-headed dude for the most part whenever I see him talk outside of his videos and stuff. It seems like a caricature that he's just taking on to do it, and it's just become so incentivized that it's now a big thing. But that's totally happening on the internet. Let's hear more.
Candace, if you're going to try to degrade me, at least say my name correctly. Samira. You know, I watched your whole 6-minute, 23-second violent, discriminatory rampage
violence
toward me and other fat people. And all I have to say is, I feel sorry for you. But I mean, I feel sorry for anyone whose sense of self-worth is found in a relentless pursuit of proximity to whiteness. But Candace, this message is not...
Dude, how degrading is it to other black people and people of color to say that being in a healthy body is, quote, proximity to whiteness? How crazy is that to say? Like, as a person of color, if you ever heard somebody say that being skinny or being fit is putting yourself in proximity to whiteness, honestly, like, what? You're saying just by virtue of being born a person of color that I should be curvier or bigger or even obese and unhealthy? Is that what you mean to say? Is that what I'm hearing? Can you please clarify what you mean by that? Because that's essentially what's being said.
And they say the same thing about showing up on time and math and stuff like that.
It's
I'm reminded again, I think I came across my feed today of that clip of Vince Dow on the Vice panel when he was just like, he dared to say that we should look at the factors that make people successful versus unsuccessful. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they call it like Asian assimilation to whiteness if you have a nuclear family and care a lot about school and all this type of stuff. Right. And he was like, no, that's just being successful. So it's not that you're injecting this race, you're conflating it with race and it's holding you back. It's making you not pursue things that make you successful. So mm-hmm. it's just silly.
Yeah, this also, the proximity to whiteness, if you really wanted to view it through her prism of racism or whatnot, look back into medieval times. The only people who were larger and heavier were those who were rich. And if you want to, again, look through it in your prism, mm-hmm. were white people back yep. then during the medieval times. So actually, you're kind of floating around the proximity of whiteness, but yet you can't see it.
Exactly. You can just bend and twist things when you yeah. have that lens. You can do anything with the words that you say. And that's exactly what she's doing right here with what Candace was saying about her.
This message is for Congress.
Congress.
This message is for our federal lawmakers.
Okay, I'm ready.
Fat phobia is real. Discrimination based on weight is real. It should be illegal. It should be criminalized.
Illegal?
And Candace Owens is just one example.
Criminalized?
But fat phobia, it permeates every single structure of our society.
Whoa, there's so many claims being made right now. She just said fat phobia should be illegal and it should be criminalized, and Candace is one of them. So she's saying that criminal action needs to be taken against Candace Owens for the stuff that she said in her podcast about her? What? Whoa, some radical stuff.
Healthcare, education, entertainment, just to name a few. And it also lies at the intersection of other identities.
Okay, I also, just a tangential note here. I hate when people talk like they're doing spoken word poetry. I really hate it. I hate when she's like, I am big because my body is like an oak tree in the ground that grows up and has branches and bends out. I hate when people talk like that. And that's exactly what she's doing right now. And so many girls do it on TikTok. Oh my gosh. Only if you're really reading a piece of poetry that you wrote, should you be talking like that? You can tell it's this social justice warrior attitude that so many people have right now, to where it's quite literally a character for her. I can see it. I can see it.
Already federally protected from hate and bias.
Oh gosh, I hate it.
So why aren't fat bodies protected?
I know you guys can't unsee it now that I said it. I know you guys can't unsee that. And you're going to notice it every single
time. There's a lot of things I can't unsee in this video.
You're going to notice it every time now.
Well, it's because it will require you lawmakers to face your own fat phobia, to unlearn your own fat phobia. And I guarantee if any of you spent just even 1 minute to understand the racist, sexist, classist, ableist history of the BMI, of other fat politics, you would understand why fat people need protection. So if you truly care about human rights, about protecting people from hate and bias, then you would understand why fat phobia should be illegal.
Whoa. That was a whole lot of confidence and a whole lot of nothing all at the same time. Fat phobia should be illegal. I really want clarification on what that looks like and what she means by that.
Oh, she means whatever. She'll be the one to determine and define what fat phobia is.
Right.
Kind of like when we had the misinformation department in the government. It's like, who gets to define misinformation? Who gets to define hate speech? And the answer is always those people who want to make it illegal.
Gosh, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine what this looks like being played out, what she's calling for with legislators. Is it people getting fined? Do you get put in jail for saying something that is deemed to be fat phobic? Is it what is the inner working of criminalizing fat phobia in America? Are doctors going to get arrested for telling you the truth when you go and see them? Is that going to be a thing? Because that, I guess, qualifies as fat phobia. She's saying that she is essentially against the BMI scale, which there are other reasons to maybe bring into question BMI. You have like really big, bulky, athletic guys who may have really high BMI and it's not exactly scalable. But I imagine in her situation or in the situation of somebody who is obese or morbidly obese, BMI probably would still be a good indicator for your health and where you are at and what you should be looking toward as a goal. So what constitutes fat phobia? Is truth simply fat phobia at this point? And that should be illegal and that should be criminalized? Is telling the truth something that qualifies as discrimination? I guess so. I mean, we just did USA Powerlifting where a trans woman, meaning a biological male, sued and said, this is discriminatory. I should be able to compete against the women. And they went, you know what? Absolutely. That is unfair. You should get in there and compete with those other biological women and powerlift against them as a biological male. So I guess the same could be said for fat phobia. I think it's up next.
Probably. And as I'm watching this, I'm thinking back to the Colin Kaepernick story, and you see kind of the same logic at play here, which is virtue is finding oppression, and even better if you can claim victimhood from said oppression. And that's kind of the logic of our time now in our culture. We used to have virtue was just virtue. Virtue was things like being a responsible, upstanding person who had a good sense of honor and duty and good morals. And it also, we used to celebrate things like being healthy and just acknowledging biology. And those are all things that have been thrown under the bus now so that we can find more oppression. And I think about this, and you think about it, it's like when someone has a piece of gossip, right? And it's the same incentive of what people want to share gossip for. It's I get to be the person that tells you this juicy nugget of information. It's not something that is a great and moral thing to do, but I'm the one that gets to tell you it, and I feel good and I feel important because look, I found it. And it's the same thing with these people who are like, look, I found this oppression. I found this oppressive structure in fat politics. I found this oppression in the NFL system or from my parents. And look at me, I'm even a victim from it. Don't you feel bad for me? And it's get this, like, you're getting your validation from this sense of just finding oppression and being a victim instead of getting your validation from achieving things, being a good person, becoming healthy, promoting good ideas, building something of value that other people can share in, having gratitude for the people on whose shoulders you're standing. This modern woke activism, this, you know, postmodern leftist neo-Marxist ideology that is really the logic that we're living in now, or at least that's the war for they're trying to take over our culture and how we think is that, and it incentivizes destroying things that were once good and calling yourself a victim of them and calling yourself virtuous if you can find those things that are and call them oppressive. And it disincentivizes actually making something of yourself or being healthy or, you know, acknowledging biology or, you know, not making excuses and not allowing things to hold you back. And you become a virtuous, healthy, you know, productive person.
Right. And I will give grace in that with the fat phobia conversation and the body positivity conversation. Often the people who are on the higher end of the spectrum here who are morbidly obese do have an issue. And some can be medical issues that are unhelpful, but other people just have an issue that they've taken on as a person that has led to their obesity. And unfortunately, it's a problem that you can directly see with your eyes. Whereas most other people have problems that you can't see and they're able to hide and they get to live in a shadow with those problems and they can't be openly criticized for them because nobody knows that they have them. Whereas when you are fat or a bigger person, you get a lot of judgment and simply because people look at you. So I am sympathetic to that. But to say that somebody can acknowledge the truth that being a fatter or bigger person is not necessarily the healthiest place to be in your life, and it's certainly not something that you should be incentivizing for others to do and be like many are today, that is just ridiculous. That is not criminal. That is not something that constitutes discrimination in my eyes. And by no means should be prosecuted in any way like she is calling for from legislators. As far as discrimination is concerned against fat people, the only reasonable points I can think of are is if this is going to hinder a process in some way, if you are incapable of doing a job athletically due to the position that your body is in, or if they have certain standards like, an Abercrombie and Fitch, that used to be a hot button topic. The models who are working at Abercrombie and Fitch, how dare they hire beautiful people and only beautiful people to work at these stores? That's within their right to do that. They can do that if they want to do that. So you could call that discrimination, or you could call that preferential treatment, and that's a choice that they're willing to make. I think everybody should be able to make that decision for themselves. Unfortunately, I guess fatness would fall under that umbrella for Sumaira.
Yeah, this one's weird too, because I feel like... This lady is picking and choosing which like medical diagnoses she wants to accept and or reject. Mm. You know, so it could be like you were mentioning those who are morbidly obese may have actual problems, physical problems.
Sure.
And then there are those who, she mentioned BMI or anything along those lines. It's like, well, okay, at what point or what specific medical parameters are you putting out there? The ones that you're just picking a la carte, and then you're saying the other ones are racist or classist or ableist or whatnot. It's just like that doesn't hold up. Like the foundation is set and you either accept it or you throw the whole thing out.
Right. And the fact is people do make judgments. People do. Everybody does it. I'm sure she judges other people, whether or not she would admit that. I doubt. I don't know. She clearly judges Candace for wanting to be in proximity to whiteness. I wonder if she does that to other black people who are walking around in fit and athletic bodies. Is she looking at them and saying, oh, there's another black person who's trying to get closer proximity to whiteness? When she sees through the windows at the gym and sees black people there working out, are those black people who are beholden to white supremacy and internalized racism who are trying to gain proximity to whiteness? I don't know. But based on some of the phrasing and terminology that she's used in this video, I might go as far as to say that might be a view that she holds. Is she not discriminating? Is that something that should be illegal? Is that something that should be prosecuted based on what she's saying? If we want to start a movement against that, could be based on her worldview and the way that she shapes things and the radical approach that she takes to her moral impulses. But no. We're not advocating for that because that's ridiculous. And people have their prejudices. People have people that they want to discriminate against, whether that is positive or negative. Do people have that right? They do. They do. Obviously, we have the Civil Rights Act and things like that that do protect people from being discriminated against in the job market and scholarships and things like that. But I'm saying in your daily life choices and the words that you say, yeah, you're allowed to discriminate against people. I'm sorry. That's still protected. And it should be.
Yeah, technically she has fit phobia. She's not a big fan of people who are focused on fitness.
There you go.
And, so it cuts both ways.
It does cut both ways, but we won't acknowledge that, will we? Now, let's good look at this video that went viral of an American's criticism of America after visiting Italy, and then an Italian man who has responded. And I'll get your guys' thoughts. I want to read the chat on this one and see what you all have to say. But let's hear from her first.
Do you ever notice how everybody in Italy doesn't have a therapist like everybody in the United States does? Or every grocery store in Italy isn't filled with aisles of supplements, probiotics, prebiotics, collagen powders, green powder? And how on the corner of every single major city there isn't a fitness place like CrossFit, yoga, bar, cycling? Our culture in the United States pretty much takes out everything that should be naturally happening in daily life. It takes it out because of our lifestyle and puts it on the side and offers it as a service, a package, a product, something that you can pay for that also requires additional time. So we used to live in communities, we had big families, we used to talk to people every day, all day. Hunter gatherers that sat around a fire, or people in Italy that sit for an hour and have an espresso. Now we don't do any of that. We also don't have time for it. We filter everything through a therapist. Our food is so toxic in the United States that in order to feel good, we have to take probiotics, prebiotics, minerals, vitamins. Then we have to go to the gym and rigorously work out so that we don't become inflamed and fat. Whereas other cultures have healthy food to begin with, other cultures include things like walking in their daily activity. So it's no wonder that in order to live a healthy lifestyle in the United States, you basically need to wake up at 4 a.m. so you can fit in your workout, fit in a meditation, and probably a motivational podcast or affirmation so you can just survive the day. And then a therapist on your lunch break or after work because we're no longer having meaningful relationships. The math is not mathing. No wonder everybody is exhausted. But businesses are thriving.
Hmm. so much to unpack there and so many hasty generalizations that I don't really know where to start necessarily, because you could retort back that with all these things and with all these offers and all the things that we've compartmentalized and created businesses for or whatever, we are also creating a giant, like, sought after economy and sought after culture that other countries are emulating. So there's a lot to say there. Therapy and stuff, you could say, is a result of lifestyle and a result of compartmentalizing these things into different businesses or whatever. You could also say it's the result of social media and loneliness and maybe not incentivizing relationships, as she said there. But there's just so many generalizations made and said, well, this is just an American problem and the Americans are having this issue. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like this might be a conflation of, like, anger against capitalism, as you were kind of alluding to, and also just individual consumerism. You know, it's it's projecting out this issue at large when it's like, okay, at the end of the day, it comes down to what you can do as an individual and how you can avoid getting sucked into the vortex of consuming too much or doing too much or whatnot, and improving yourself along the way. So I feel like it's just so many wires are being crossed here.
Yeah, I do think her point about food is pretty astute and pretty on point, because there's a lot of other countries where they do not approve the sort of drugs and processed materials that we are putting in our foods, and they have a far more holistic view as far as food is concerned, and it seems a lot healthier over there than it is over here. We just allow a bunch of shit in our food that is not necessarily good for you. Like, when I go grocery shopping, The trick to stay around the ring of the grocery store rather than going anywhere in the middle, because in the middle is where just all the processed garbage is in the grocery store, and that's how they get you to go there, is because, of course, you need, like, eggs and produce and milk, which are staples and probably healthy staples in your diet. But to get there, you have to go through all the other BS, and that's how they get you. So I try to stay at the ring of the grocery store. And certainly you can recognize in other countries that they don't allow for a bunch of the stuff that we allow. So there's definitely a point to be made there. Our relationships are totally different in America. And maybe there is a lack of emphasis on it. We did that whole story of men not having meaningful relationships to report and saying that they struggle in creating friends. Although I don't know if that's something that is shared by other countries. I'm not worldly enough to answer this question for you guys. I have no idea. But we did have an Italian man who did respond to this. And you know what? Nothing makes me more patriotic than somebody in a foreign country shitting on America. This is when I want to fight. nothing does it. And I don't know, this is something that even leftists have, because I see it on TikTok all the time, of like when a British person starts to like make fun of America or anything, even like blue-haired leftists come to the forefront and they're like, 40 countries have independence from y'all and they celebrate it every year, so shut your mouth. So I think it's a feeling that we all just have of patriotism for our respective countries. But let's hear what this Italian guy had to say about this video.
He doesn't have a therapist like everybody in the United States does.
A lot of you guys have been tagging me on this one. I guess you guys today woke up and chose violence. Very good points in this video. However, he says that society in America took everything that is normal in society and put it on shelves and sold it. The supplement to your life. My dear PewDiePie, everything that is happening in America is a consequence of the foundations of American people. Laziness, lack of will to sacrifice, economics of the typical peasant, and we'll get to that in a bit, and lack of long-term vision. We're gonna start.
Okay. First of all, okay? We're the lazy ones? We're the lazy ones? I don't know. I went to Paris for one day, couldn't get a single thing done because nobody was working. Nobody was working. Now, this is not Italy, although I hear the culture is quite the same, that you guys like to take your leisurely walks, okay, and your coffee in the middle of the workday, that you guys leave work and take a nap for like 2 hours and then don't even go back into the office. I'm just coming at all of you guys right now just because of this one man who came at me. But we're the lazy ones because, okay, It's weird that I'm hearing this guy say that Americans are lazy when a lot of other European people complain that they come to America and it's too much of a rat race, like too many people are on the go and they're trying too much to get things done. Which one is it? Are we lazy or are we getting things done?
I think life is so good. Sorry, Taylor. I think life is so good these days that this American lady had to pick and choose these small things to make big issues out of. Mm. And I think that's part of our problem is we have gone so hard and so far in terms of the economy, in terms of technology, and we've done so well as a country over the past, call it 50 years, that we have to start creating these problems for ourselves to make it worthwhile.
We did kind of go too far in that, it seems. But we are kind of setting the stage. I will say that, like, when you go and visit other countries or whatever and they are more leisurely, you're like, ah, I can see why somebody might like this. But then you're, after a while, I'm like, I don't know that I could do this whole time.
Right.
But it's just a cultural difference. I don't know that I could be like this.
Yeah, the first video to me had that attitude, Amala, of like, you're an American, you went overseas and you got the culture shock of like, oh my gosh, they have it so great here, everything's so fun and leisurely. And then all the problems that you look back in contrast of your home country just seem so unbelievable. How do we live like that? And look, it's a nuanced conversation. The adult take is, every country and cultures have different strengths and weaknesses. America's best, but we have our own strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah, just slide that in there.
So you can go overseas and experience another culture and then experience some of their strengths but you probably don't see their weaknesses when you're like touring things and, looking at the Leaning Tower of Pisa and having a nice coffee. You're not really going to get a sense of the full scope of that culture. And it shouldn't, you should be grateful for your homeland too. It shouldn't reduce it to these little caricatures just based on one experience.
Yeah, 100%.
Start with therapy, your same argument. Why is therapy not so popular in Italy? Because we have friendships. When I say we have friendships, when you walk around Italy, you think that there are so many gay couples among men. No, in most cases, it's just very good friends. We have friendships that go for 15 years, that are embedded from generations, family friends, and you learn how to adapt and how to like each other. And even in the bad, you fight and you still come back. Some of my worst fights with some of my best friends. Also, just to debunk all Americans, you notice you have a best friend if you don't have pictures with them. And this
What are these just random rules that are being thrown into here and just hasty generalizations that are being made about not having friends? Although we did go over that study that did say most American men say they don't have more than 6 close friends, but 6 is a lot. Mm-hmm. 6 is a lot of close friends. So I don't know how astute that study was in particular, but
he's got to be playing up this accent a little bit. Don't you think? I mean, he's talking like Mario. I have Italian friends that I play speak volleyball with back in LA and they do not sound like this. I mean, maybe it's just he's earlier on in learning English or getting rid of his accent, but it seems like there's a deliberate effort here to play it up a little bit.
Oh yeah, I'm feeling it. And what, you're not friends with somebody if you have pictures of them in your camera roll? So what, you're not friends because you want to document your time together? What do you mean? Continue.
How I just debunked 90% of friendships in America. Number 2, food. Food goes very well with what I called the economics of the peasant. I don't know how the fuck it happened. Somebody sold you that idea.
You see, his real voice just kind of came out there when he said that. Did you hear it?
It dropped off.
It did. We caught that.
Number 2, food. Food goes very well with what I called the economics of the peasant. I don't know how the fuck.
I don't know how the fuck that happened. Okay.
It happened. Somebody sold you that idea that taking your car, driving to McDonald's through drive-thru, waiting 5 minutes, finding a place to eat, sitting and eating, is less time-consuming than going grocery shopping once a week and cooking at home. What the fuck went through your mind? Ma di che cazzo stiamo a parlare? I understand that cooking is not something that is sent through generations in America. They teach you cooking in Italy because if you cannot cook, you cannot leave the house. But here's the perk. If you're cooking, even if the raw material is not the best in America compared to Italy, you don't know what you're putting in your body compared to going to a restaurant. And you save a lot of money. People here say the Starbucks a day is wasting your down payment on a house. Guys, it's everything. It's the whole mindset. It's the Starbucks, it's the food, it's your eating out and everything. Also, to the boys, if you do a cooking date, trust me, it's much more successful. When it comes to mating in America, we do not even consider you competition. Lifestyle, the coffee. You can still have a coffee in America. I still do here and there.
It's giving insecure. It's giving you really do consider us competition because you're talking a whole lot about how you don't consider us competition. You know what we say about confident men? Confident men, quiet men. This guy is not quiet in the slightest.
Because people don't have time. Guys, when the average time on the phone is 7 hours a day, you have time. You're just prioritizing it on the wrong stuff. Lack of long-term vision. You feel like your life is a race. No, life is a marathon.
I just want to point out a race and a marathon are the same thing. They're both races. just want to say life is not a race. It's a marathon.
A marathon's a type of race, buddy.
Yeah, you're spending too much time making a pasta, not in a school.
Take it easy. Everybody wants to get rich now. If you're just following the money, you're dying, especially if you're individualistic. If you take it as a marathon, you create a team around you, you create a community, you're growing together. Nice and slow, you get there.
Not how marathons work.
Well, not everybody is so fixated with Andrew Tate, but chill out. You're not Andrew Tate. Basta. Andrew Tate got where you got in 20 years, not in one. But who am I? Just an Italian living in America.
All right. Oh my gosh. I can't.
You know how hard you have to train for a marathon? Like how much deliberate hard work and effort have to go into being able to run one? It's right. A terrible analogy.
It is a terrible. The whole thing was just terrible. It's just terrible. You know, we don't ever sit here and just talk crap about other countries, but people love to do it about America. They do. And I wonder why that is.
Yeah, the fact, like you said, you're confident because you're quiet. Americans don't talk about other countries because we don't know anything about other countries. We don't care about other countries. We don't need to know about other countries because other countries aren't leading the world and the greatest exporter of culture and the biggest economy and all that other stuff. So I'm not saying that we're better, but, you know,
yeah,
we did give Italy that L in World War II, too. So there's that.
Taylor's just
I love that.
Gently saying, go drink your espresso and kick rocks.
Yeah. No, I'm just being silly. I mean,
we're just being silly,
really
guys.
Enjoy, Italian coffee. I enjoy the food. I think there's validity to what he's saying with like staying with your family and learning to cook and not leaving the house till you can. That's a really good principle. And you know, obviously, Italy's got awesome culture and history and everything. So if you're Italian watching, I love y'all. Just being silly, but also. I love America.
Yes, we're just being silly. There are a lot of valid points in both the videos that were stated and put out. I've found every time I spoke to somebody in London who was from the UK, they all like to make fun of America for our guns. Every single one of them. Every single one of them. I went to Zara and I forgot what I said. Oh, yeah. I walked up to the counter at Zara and I was talking to this guy and he's like, oh, you're American and you're just visiting. I'm like, yeah, I'm just visiting. It's like, dude, I've seen a lot of people get robbed since being here and I've only been here for about a week. And he looked me dead in my face and was like, well, at least our kids aren't getting shot in school. And I was like, okay, you got me there. You got me there. I'm just gonna. So that's a common retort. I see it all the time on the internet now. That's how they like to make fun of us, is our gun culture. But also, we don't have the electric companies coming and stealing money from us and coming into our houses. So, and it's probably because we're armed. But it's neither here nor there. Now we're going to play a fun little game. We're probably going to skip through some of this episode because it's long, but we want to do something fun for Fun Friday. And Jubilee put out a video titled Six Married Men versus One Secret F-Boy. And we want to figure it out. We got two married men on the panel today, Taylor and Scott. Hey. And we're going to see if you guys can figure out who the F-Boy is. And you guys can play along in the chat and see if you can figure it out.
I'm a married man.
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 Okay, pause. Let's look at them. Let's look at all of them. Oops. Okay. Just based on looks alone, because it's always good to judge people based on their looks alone, I am going to say either the guy with the donut gang hat or the black guy with the chain is the F-boy. Do you guys have any initial guesses? Who do you think the F-boy is?
First of all, that's really racist. Secondly, I don't know. I'm trying to like reverse psychology this thing, and I'm like, who's the most normal looking person? But I mean, I guess the black guy's the most normal looking person.
He's the most normal looking.
The Asian guy
with the hoodie.
Yeah, that's
the first two are just giving domesticated to me.
Yeah.
And the two in the bottom in the middle, domesticated for the most part. It's the black guy or the donut gang guy in my.
Yeah, I gotta go. I gotta join with you. Bottom left and probably a curveball. I'm gonna say bottom right.
He's doing the lip bite. He's doing the F-boy lip bite. You know, the little light skin move.
Yeah.
Taylor?
I don't know. I'm going to say the Asian guy is married. I mean, is the F-boy.
Is the F-boy. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's watch.
Can I ask everyone's age? Because I'm very young. I'm only 22.
He's married.
Oh. Yeah, he's
very
young.
I'm 29. 100%.
You see that turtleneck? You see that turtleneck? Boy, it's cuffed. There ain't no way. No way he's out there on the streets. You heard that sweet voice? I'm 22. He's got a nice wife who handles the finances and cooks for him and stuff. He's married.
Okay. I'm 27.
I'll be 28.
I'll be 28.
25.
33.
Almost.
Okay.
Oh, Scotty Griffin, your baby. Yeah.
So how did everybody propose?
So I took her back to Boston, which is where we went to school. Took her in front of the dorm where we first met. That's where we first met in person, because before that I slid in the DM. into Facebook DM, really? By the way, guys. We did like a little Bollywood flash mob in front of the dorm.
That's really specific.
Yeah, that's actually nice, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, he proposed on the Santa Monica.
He's married. Pier. He said he proposed.
Yeah.
Married. Done.
Occasions on my birthday. So I'm from Colombia.
Yeah,
he's from LA.
Okay.
And we went back and forth. And then when I came that time, he proposed. And then we had to do that whole immigration thing as well. So, yeah.
She really wanted to take a couple photos like at the time. And then we like went and like did like a photo shoot. And then like she had like her back turned like towards the camera. And like I had like the ring. And then like when she turned it on, I popped the question.
I'm squinting.
I was actually active duty for my first.
Am I allowed to say what I think? Can I say that? Is that rude? Do I need to say it now that I've already...
Let it rip.
This should tell you everything, but I was just taken aback by the voice. I was taken aback by the vocal stylings of that young man. Let's keep watching, though.
And my wife actually decided to join. So for graduation, I proposed at graduation. I mean, it worked out just only because her family was going to be there and my family was going to be there for the graduation.
Took her to our first date spot, which was the Gaylord Hotel. It was under a really nice gazebo. And there were
really specific.
Like snowflakes coming out in the background and everything because they were doing some event. And that's where I proposed to her.
Nice.
I told her that my sister wanted to do a shoot with her. So when the photographer was like taking photos of them, I just showed up with the ring. I was like, oh, hey, what are you wearing?
Smooth.
So like they were taking photos of us anyway.
And then mine, I didn't really propose. It was like arranged, but I mean, we just agreed to it. She actually lives in Pakistan right now. Yeah, it's a little long distance thing.
Oh yeah, he's married.
Yeah.
That's legit.
Yeah.
Arranged marriage, legit.
Yeah.
Is that because you guys are waiting on
the immigration stuff?
Yeah. Man, that's rough.
Is it hard doing the whole long distance thing?
100%. Or? Texting and stuff in the nighttime.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Love it.
They're going to vote somebody off. Let's see who gets voted off. Okay, they got to go to a tiebreaker.
Andy.
Wow.
And Justin. We're gonna have you talk a little bit about marriage. Both of you will have 30 seconds to do so.
So we've been married for a little over 6 years. I wanna say the first year was like the hardest year. I'm like a family guy, so having
cliche.
To like kinda
What do you say, Taylor?
So that's cliche.
It's cliche, okay. First year's the hardest.
Communicate, but like distance myself from my family. So like, it was like literally just like me and my wife, like best friends. That's like where like, the majority of like our growth has come from just like really just like separating myself and like my family. 6 years later,
so
we have two beautiful daughters, 3 and 1.
I think the biggest.
Oh, they have two daughters, 3 and 1.
Two daughters. Oh.
Okay, that was a big reveal there. So maybe not.
Curveball.
Maybe not an F boy. That'd be a weird thing to just like make up on the spot. You
know, going into marriage was the importance of communication, and my wife really helped me kind of learn those things with trial and error. I think communication is the number one thing in any relationship, let alone marriage. And I know this is completely irrelevant, but what I'm saying is I'm trying to get you guys to understand that like, I know what the most important thing in marriage is, and that's communication.
Who would like-
No, that's vague.
Vote him off. Even if he is married, vote him off. What type of answer?
Maybe I was right. Maybe my wild guess was right.
Maybe it is.
Is
that
definitely
was
sounding like an F-boy answer.
That was an F-boy answer. Wow. Even scarier if not an F-boy answer. And he is married and that's just his answer.
Yeah. Even I don't know what's worse.
Even worse.
You are married.
Okay, he got voted off.
So what is an F-boy to you guys?
I like think of like a cis male, like a straight man. That's just like what I've always thought of, like when I thought about.
This guy is really throwing me off.
Yeah. Ah.
He's saying he's married to a woman and he's got two kids. Okay.
Boys.
I think it's transgender.
Oh.
That be, right? Clears up everything.
It's Jubilee. It's 2023. Of course they're going to.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Like that makes so much. Good job, Taylor. I want to look and confirm that. But yeah, he does kind of have a feminine looking face now that you mention it. And the voice was really messing with me. I was like, what is going on? Oh my gosh. I was like, the closet is glass. What are you talking about? But if it's okay, perfect.
Well, as just someone that's has a lot of partners, right? Because that's totally fine as long as all parties, that's the arrangement that they
I
want.
See
just,
like, who really gets voted off next. And, like, okay, answer. they're gonna vote.
My second body, so she wasn't my first.
Yeah.
Oh wait, we just missed something there.
We talk about it.
What did they say?
Yeah.
Hold on, let me go back.
Everybody's good. I can trust anyone.
Really? You think so?
I think so. Yeah.
Are you all monogamous?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
100%.
No. Yeah. Everybody's monogamous.
Yeah. My culture will not allow for that. What's your body count? Can I ask that?
All right, no. We talk about it. Yeah.
What's your? I said one. Same my wife. One? Yeah.
Really?
Growing up, yeah. And for me, like, grew up like in like the Christian like home, and so I knew that like, it was gonna be like my wife. I was gonna save myself for marriage and all that stuff. And I got made fun of a lot, like being like working like I mean just like the warehousing environment. But I'm just like, I know
he's not trans.
This is an enigma, bro.
This is just really throwing me off. He's just got a feminine voice. I was really okay. He's not trans.
I won, and it worked out in the end.
I was too. I'm actually Christian too, but my wife was actually my second body, so she wasn't my first.
Yeah, I was just trying to.
Earl.
No, he's got my vote. Get him out of there. Yeah. Did you hear what he just said? He said my wife was my second body.
Yeah.
They no way you're married, and she has not corrected you on saying that. Ain't no way. And look at how he's dressed. He's got the collar open. He's got his chain out. I know.
Maybe that's just how he talks with the boys. It's locker room talk, you know?
Oh, yeah? And he just has his chest all out with the boys? That's how he goes out walking in his day-to-day life? Uh-uh. Did he just say my wife was my second body? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Okay, they vote. We're gonna skip ahead after this.
I intentionally proceeded to give him side eyes. Anytime I could, I was like, you're the mole.
I'm giving him side eyes this whole video. It has nothing to do with the subject matter.
Justin's very suspicious of me. He seems like he's going to want to eliminate me at some point, so I'm gonna just try to eliminate him right now.
Wow. Oh, he's gone.
Wow. So Justin will have you step out of the box then just come take a seat.
I'm hurt. I trust it. Some of you guys. Just some of you guys.
If you think the mole is still in the box and you like to continue the game, please raise your hand.
Okay,
we're
going to continue the game. Let's get further down here.
That's a big thing.
Yeah, that could honestly make or break a marriage.
Yeah. How'd you and your wife?
We used to work together. It was a hotel near Disneyland. I was at the front desk.
Yeah. Do you think fuckboys are cool, yes or no?
No.
Trying to catch them off guard real quick. She said no, yeah.
Okay, they're gonna vote again. Oh wow, they're voting Cyrus off. He's gone. I'm telling you, he said my wife was my second body.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on this one.
How is he not gone? Just for saying it.
If you think the mole is still in the box and you'd wish to continue the game, please raise your hand.
I don't trust anyone, so I'm just raising it that you don't have to go with it.
Clover's got trust issues.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
All right, so that means the game is over, and we'll go into the reveal.
Bro, if it's Clover's, I'm backflipping out of here, bro. Like, I'm gonna, yeah.
Everybody, a lot of people in the chat are saying it's the turtleneck. It's the turtleneck. It's the turtleneck. It is not my dude Clover's. Clover's.
Is that yellow sleeves?
No, the blue.
No, blue, yeah.
The arranged marriage. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, he's legit.
Oh, he's legit. He's a real one. Listen to that.
I'm green. That means that you have voted the mole out and you all win. But if the
look at him bouncing around.
That means that the mole is
just
still
like
in the
an F-boy would. Look at that shirt. Are you looking at that shirt? It's like a black shirt with velvet roses on it. That is an F
in
boy.
Three?
Nah, I don't think it is.
Taylor says no.
Two.
Wait, Taylor, but do you think the F-boy's still in the box? Before we find out, we're about to find out.
I don't know, but I don't think it's the black guy.
Okay, well, you have to. So, who do you think it is?
I think there are two.
I don't know. Black guys, I think maybe it was still.
Was
the
there
Asian
two
guy.
Black guys?
Yeah, the guy in the yellow sleeves, I believe, is.
Is he black?
Yeah.
I don't know. He don't look. He looks Hispanic to me. You think? What do you think, Taylor?
The I'm tattoos? Still sticking with Asian guy.
Asian. Okay, the Asian guy they voted off in the beginning. Okay.
Fine.
He's still in the box. He's still in the box.
I'm pretty sure it's you, dude.
Will the mole please reveal themselves in 3, 2, 1.
Dude.
Oh.
Let's fucking go.
Earl.
It's Earl. If that's how you even say his name, or Errol. It's Errol.
No.
Dude.
Every time it comes
just look
out,
at him.
He's like, oh, yeah.
You'd be like a made man. I was like,
you killed it, really? Oh,
do you have a significant other that's active duty?
I don't.
That was all.
I was hearing your guys' definitions of an F-boy, right? Someone who doesn't care, manipulates, no feelings, right? And I feel as if that's a big, broad term. Because I do have feelings for other people. I just would rather be single right now and focus on my career.
Mm-hmm. I can respect that.
Yeah, I guess I'm classified as an F-boy, but I just enjoy
just
being single.
Just look at him.
Don't lead anybody on. Everybody knows up front. You know, I just want to be single.
He looked like he'll be on like F-Boy Island or some show like that. That's exactly what he looks like.
I just wish the producers of Jubilee would have made a more progressive choice with who the F-Boy was. They should have had a white male.
Yeah. Dude. Jubilee
who
put out
the bad guy.
They did a video of like six black guys and one secret white guy, and the secret white guy tricked all of them. It was actually pretty fascinating.
Oh, dang.
It was pretty fascinating. That's what we should have reacted to, although you can see them, so it's not really a guessing game. So it kind of takes away the fun. But anyways, guys, let's get into Super Chats. We'll close out today's show. I screenshotted some of them. Let's see. From Rock, Paper, Scissors, thank you for your Super Chats. This unapologetic team, favorite coffee/caffeinated drink? I mean, I don't really do caffeinated drinks. Pre-workout every now and then, but no caffeinated drinks on my part.
I drink a ton of coffee. Favorite, I just brew coffee. I grind the beans and use a Chemex. Or I'll get the chocolate cold foam at Starbucks has been my jam lately, the cold brew.
Yeah, I guess I got to ask the clarifying question is, are you asking about a certain brand of coffee, a roast a bean? I love dark
all
roast.
The things.
Yeah, I love Pete's dark roast and usually just drip. I'll go with drip, but you know, espresso is good every once in a while, an Americano.
All of that sounds
Scott got
horrible.
That drip.
Scott got that drip. I don't like coffee at all. Hot bean water. Horrible. Oh. Horrible. The Autistic Professor, thank you for your Super Chat. I miss the days when people could talk about opposing viewpoints with nuance and be able to hold respect for each other. Miss that intellectual discourse in the pursuit of growth and understanding. Don't we all? Guys, I'm filming a Jubilee video tomorrow that is male feminist versus female anti-feminist. And I'm going to be having some, hopefully, civil discourse with a bunch of other people tomorrow morning. So hopefully it goes well and everybody's chill. Chill. Please chill out. Nuno Silva, Pixar is making an Inside Out 2 movie, a movie of emotions of a teenage girl. Will they double down on wokeness and make a trans movie or explain that it is natural to be confused in that age? I imagine there's going to be sprinkles of that throughout it. I watched Turning Red and there was a little stuff here and there. It wasn't crazy, but there was stuff here and there to that effect. So I never watched Inside Out the original. So, I don't know.
Me neither.
People said it's really good, though.
Yeah, that one.
Me neither,
but
I don't trust Disney at all. So, that's my take.
Yeah, no, I thought it was actually pretty good. But I can only imagine that it's going to go that way here in this day and age.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Now that guy's taken over at Disney, what is it, Bob Iger?
Iger. Yeah. Well, he's
the old CEO.
Yeah.
He's back.
Maybe he's going to.
Under him, it became woke. So, I don't really have a lot of faith.
I guess
but,
not. Mm. Jen McMahon. I don't know how to say your last name, but thank you for your Super Chat. The new phobia is truth phobia. Shaking my head. Ain't that the truth? That's all I gotta say there.
McMahon. I think
McMahon. See, this is one of those names where it should just be spelled M-C-M-A-N or M-C-M-A-N-N.
Those Irish names get you.
But y'all had to go do some little fancy stuff to make your ancestors had to go make it all fancy. Anyways, Mankyla, I always say that name wrong and I feel bad every time. How much is known about Chinese influence on all the woke things in the U.S.? It is known that China is funding U.S. universities and so on. What are the best ways to resist the CCP influence? What a hefty question. I don't know. Yeah. I don't even know how you would begin to track down the different funding and what their hands are in. As far as resisting the influence, just have to think critically and have a strong awareness of what is good for you and what is not good for you, and build fortitude around that awareness and do the same for your children, in my opinion. Do what you can in your daily life. Jay Rankin, thank you for your super chat. To be fair, I never understood why people wore Confederate clothes and praised statues and claimed to be proud Americans. Wouldn't they be traitors since they fought against America? Would you agree? I will say it's never been something that I have identified with or really been like, heck yeah, I understand exactly why you're doing it. I can understand with some people maybe having pride for their state and that being a part of their state's history why you do it, but it does seem like a very strange thing to be like, this point in history is what I think is super important and what I want to establish my ideology around, or at least let everybody know that I am a representative of. The one thing that they'll say, though, is like, they think that maybe that was the purest form of people actually saying states have individual power and fighting for that, but I don't know. I'm just not, most of the people that I meet that are there, that I have met that are repping Confederate flags, you know, that's all I gotta say. Yeah. I'm not gonna elaborate on it, yeah. But you know what I mean by that. It's just not, it doesn't seem to be something wholly profound, and then that's why they're repping it. Do you guys have any understanding of why? Yeah.
I mean, I spent a lot of time in the South growing up. I will say, I think a lot of people fly the flag or, you know, wear it or whatever without really understanding the baggage that it carries. And yep. To them, it probably more means, or they're wearing it with the intent of like the pride of Dixie, the pride of being Southern and that type of stuff, and aren't necessarily intending it in a way to say, I wish that the South won and that racism and slavery was still an institution right. That we have alive in American culture today. I don't think that that's like an honest interpretation of everyone who's, you know, has it on their license plate or whatever like that. But that's also not to say that it's not a symbol without a lot of baggage. And it definitely at least has a very questionable place in, you know, being in the public eye in modern times.
Right. I can see like states' rights being something behind it. This sense of these were people who fought with arms to defend their ideology. Maybe that being a part of it that people identify with. But I'll see so many people with Confederate flags and they just like own a bunch of Confederate stuff. And I'm just like, interesting. And they're not racist. Like, they'll come and talk to you and they're perfectly fine and nice and everything. It's just like they want to own a bunch of stuff, Confederate stuff, for some reason. I'm just like, I just don't. Maybe we need to sit somebody down who owns a bunch of this stuff and ask them what their motivation is.
Yeah, I would probably liken it to, or at least my understanding of people who, in my past, who I've come across who have Confederate flag paraphernalia or whatnot. It's mm-hmm. It's more along the lines of what Taylor's saying. It's like they don't necessarily wear it. They don't necessarily look at all the baggage that comes with it, but they wear it as more of a badge of like their culture, the southern vibe, and the people, and they don't necessarily see it as that negative, like
right.
devil essentially proponent of it. And it's just like, you know, it's just a badge of honor for the Southern people, and
right.
Like, they just want to, I don't know, take pride in that.
Fair enough. As long as you're not racist,
yeah.
Fair enough. Benjamin Savage, thank you for your super chat. If victimhood was currency, then no one would starve, I think is what was meant to be said there. Yeah, you'd be absolutely right. It kind of is currency now. You can kind of use that stuff. You gain social capital by being a victim in today's day and age. So yeah, it is in its very unique way. The autistic professor, thank you. From experience, the word fat is not a bad word. It's a descriptor. A fun fact, being obese does not equal health. Even with medical conditions, you have agency and power over aspects of your life in small ways. Yes, you are absolutely right. And a lot of fat people now are saying, oh, yeah, I'm proud of the word fat. It is a descriptor. And, you know, that girl on TikTok who I was telling you documents her food. She says, like, a day in the life of a fat B-word. That's her TikTok. So it's just interesting. But yeah, it is a descriptor. I don't think anybody should be mad at that word in particular. And it always comes with intent. What is your intent of calling somebody fat? How do you say it? What is the meaning behind you saying it? And what's the emotion behind you saying it? Savrix, thank you. The woke self creates their own oppression, even if it doesn't exist. It's the equivalent to a placebo. It's false. Yes. It's all perception, too. Perception is reality. So, like Colin Kaepernick, his perception of those different moments in his childhood dictated his reality, and now here he is, a crybaby about systemic racism. The crazy orc.
We missed Savrix's philosophical take, so welcome back. Good to see you.
Yes, good to see you. The crazy orc, thank you for your super chat. Just sent a smiley face. We appreciate you. J.A. sent a super chat. Did you hear about Safeway Seattle's diversity champion and district manager? Running black supremacist tweets and threatening to beat the employee who saw. No, I did not hear about that. I did not. I'll look into that story and check that out. Safeway Seattle's diversity champion. I'll have to check that out. No one of consequence. Thank you for your super chat. I actually thought the white with the bandana was trans. That took me on a roller coaster. That man in that video threw me for a loop there. And it was honestly, at the end of the day, it just sounds like he had a feminine voice. But when he started saying like cisgendered, I was like, oh, wait, so you got the feminine voice and you're kind of woke. What's going on there? But just a man with a feminine voice. Gabriel Etchemendi says, off topic, but how do I get my skin to be as glowing and radiant as the three of you? Well, you spend a few $100 on some studio lighting and you've got it. That'll do that for you.
I think I'm benefiting a little bit from the graininess of being connected remotely as well. So,
That's what we'll give you.
I'm just hiding behind a beard. That's all I'm doing.
There we go.
There was one more earlier from the autistic professor said, been watching for a little over a month now. Just watched your Sally Halloween episode. Loved the costume. Your dynamics are great with the team.
Thanks. We try. We've got a good relationship going here. Unlike what that Italian person said about Americans, we're friends. Okay. We have meaningful relationships. No, we're all good. I think that's
it. I cry to Amala about my problems all the time.
Exactly.
And
that's
Scott.
What we do. That's what we do. Guys, that is our show for today. Hope you had fun. Oh, we have one more from Savrix. I don't get notifications for your channel at all. You know what? I'm set up for notifications for this and I don't get them either. So I think it's YouTube's fault. Leftist censorship, actually. That's what's happening.
Yeah, double check. We post videos and I get them like an hour later or 3 hours later. It's really random.
Yeah.
So double check that you're subscribed, and especially I think there might be an extra button for the lives so you get those notifications. But yeah, guys, we're here every day, 3 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. So, or every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and new videos at 3
p.m. Eastern,
well, so.
Taylor.
6 p.m. Oh, I'm sorry. I got my time zones all crossed.
We're all over the place. Abigail Smith, thank you for your super chat as well. No message, but we appreciate the support. Guys, I hope you have a fantastic weekend. Like I said, I'm filming that Jubilee video tomorrow, so I'll be doing that and chilling the rest of the weekend. Let me know what your weekend plans are in the comment section after the show ends. And who did you think was the secret F-boy? Were you right? Were you with me in that it was clearly Earl or Errol or whatever his name is, sporting the chains? Let me know in the comment section down below, and we'll see you guys on Monday. Bye.